the last few words on the page. The Gemara said a statement before, I mean last week what we learned, was that the Jewish kings, you come from Nisan, and the Goyish kings, you come from Tishrei. So the Gemara asked the question, I, Kodesh, was a non-Jewish king and they counted from Tishrei. So the Gemara answered, I'm sorry, from Nisan. So the Gemara answers, he was a kosher king. Okay? Then the Gemara tried to prove that he wasn't so good. So the Gemara answered, one is before he hichmits, meaning he soured. Hichmits is a special souring. One, when he was a kosher king, then he became a non-kosher. So he was a good king, he became a bad king. So, before, when he was a good king, they counted from Nisan. When he was a bad king, they counted from Tishrei. So the Gemara asks now, all the way mamish to the last three words of the page. The Gemara to me, hichmits, did Kodesh then sour? I'll show you that he didn't sour. He says in the Pasuk, these are all Aramaic words. Meaning, whatever they require, Kodesh said, whatever the Jews require, whether it's young bulls, rams, sheep, whatever they need for Hashem, for Kabbanis, chintin, malach, hamad, whether they need wheat, salt, wine, oil, kamamar, whatever they need of kahana de Yerushalayim, whatever the kohenim in Yerushalayim need, the mave, the misyai, the lohem, b'yem, the la shalu, whatever they need, day by day. So Kodesh said to the people, listen, whatever the Jews need for their kabbanis, wheat, and barley, animal, whatever they want, they can have. So you see from here that he didn't sour. He was very good. He still gave the Jews whatever they needed. Amalei Rabbi Yitzchok, Rabbi Yitzchok said, Rabbi, he answered him back, Rabbi, mitunach, from your own bundle, meaning from the pasuk that you want to prove that he was good, I'll prove to you that he was bad. Why? Because in the same pasuk, the pasuk continues, dilehavim akraven nichuchen, that they should make offers, kabbanis, lelokosh shemaya, to the Eibishter. Why? Umatzalin lechayim malkav, that they should daven for the life of the king and his children. He said, why did Kodesh do it? Not because he was so good. He wanted the Jews to daven for him. Because they knew that the Jews, when they daven, the Hashem listens. So, he wanted to prove it, Rabbi Yitzchok wanted to prove from the point that he gave all the kabbanis. I'm sorry, Rav Kahane asked the question that he didn't sour because he gave all those kabbanis. So you see that he was a good king. So Rabbi Yitzchok says to him, no, the pasuk says he did it, that they should daven for him. So he's not such a big tzaddik. So the Gemara asks, and this is a very interesting, famous concept in the Gemara. So the Gemara asks the question back, and if you do serve Hashem for that, for reward, is it so bad? Mm-hmm. Are you saying Kodesh gave a lot of money for kabbanis and everything because he wanted it for himself? So?
Yeah,
the Gemara says, well, Daniel, we learned in the Braisa, yeah. The famous Braisa, Ha'emer Zela Zula Tzedakah. If somebody says, I'm giving this coin to Tzedakah, B'shvil She'yichye B'ni, that my son should live, mm-hmm. Or b'shul she'aska l'chayelam haba, that he should go to chayelam haba. The Gemara says that hey, that's tzadik gomor. If he does, he's a tzadik gomor. Okay, and as Rashi says, it means imrogel bekach. Rashi says not one time, because one time. But if you keep doing it, Rashi says you become a tzadik gomor. So you see that even to serve Hashem for the sake of reward is not so bad. So why is Kodesh considered a bad guy because he that gave the Jews money that they should daven for him? There's nothing wrong with davening for him. So the Gemara answers like Kasha. It's not a question. Kam Yisrael, kam Be'evzik Kuchav. Rashi explains very interestingly. If a Jew does it, no, you're in the wrong Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara says, the Gemara answers, the difference is, b'Yisrael, kam be'evdei kochavim. One is, if it's a Jew that does it, then it's okay. If a guy does it, it's not okay. So Rashi explains, By a Jew, Rashi says, Liba Lashamayim. Now, let me explain this Gemara outside before we get exactly what the Gemara is saying. Tosis explains this in a different place, even though Tosis over here says completely different. Tosis over here asks the question, and this will understand the Gemara better. Tosis over here asks the question. Here the Gemara seems to say that if you give tzedakah with a condition, you're a tzaddik gamur. Yet in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says, at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, al tiyo kavadam amsham shemeserav al menas lekabel pras, you shouldn't be a servant serving the master for the sake of reward. You should be not serving for reward. You should do the shem shemai. So Tosis in Psachim, Tosis over here asks, how could you say if you give a seller for tzedakah, you're a tzaddik gamur, when the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that's not the way to do it?
Mm-hmm.
So how could you call the guy a tzaddik gamur, which means the highest level of serving Hashem, if the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, you shouldn't do like that?
Mm-hmm.
So Tosis over there answers basically the same Nakuda. Tosis here says completely different. But Tosis answers as follows. What happens if a guy gives the seller, there's no more Gemaras, that's it. The store didn't have any more, they're pushed by more. The store didn't have any more. It says, what happens? What happens if a guy gives a dollar to tzedakah on the condition the son should live, and the son doesn't? Does he regret the fact that he gave the tzedakah or not? So the Gemara says, if the person doesn't regret that he gave the tzedakah, you know, he would have rather have it in a way that the condition was met, that his son should get healthy. But if not, he doesn't regret it, then he's a tzaddik gamur. But if a Jew is only doing it for the sake of the reward, and if he doesn't get the reward, he's upset, and he regrets the fact that he gave the tzedakah, that's no good. And this is what the Gemara answers over here. If it's a Jew, the Jew, he might want to do it for reward, but Rashi explains, the Jew still will do it anyway because Hashem wants, even if he doesn't get the reward. So therefore, the Gemara answers as follows. The Gemara asks the question, what was wrong with what Kodesh did if he gave the Karbanis on the condition they should daven for him? The Gemara says he's a tzaddik gamur. So the Gemara answered, that only applies to a Jew. Because the Jew, even if he doesn't get it, he's not going to regret it. By a guy, though, the Kodesh, he will regret it.
I say that the Kodesh was a mother was a Jewish.
Esther. Yeah, but he had it then for some reason as a non-Jewish king. I don't know. That's another question. I don't know. Because not everybody says, no, that was a, well, the Gemara says Kodesh and the Yavish are the same guy. But it's another question by itself. Tosis answers the contradiction between this Gemara and Pirkei Avos also the same way the Gemara answers it here. That means, Tosis asks the question we said before, Pirkei Avos says, don't serve Hashem for the sake of reward. Here it says, do. You're tzaddik gamur. Mm-hmm. So Tosis says, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos is referring to Goyim. Mm-hmm. Which the way simply learning Tosis is very difficult to understand because Mishnah is talking to Jews. So therefore, they bring down over here that the Mashal learns, it refers to Jews who behave like Goyim. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. That's what the Mashal learns. Anyway. Okay, so that's one answer of the Gemara. So the Gemara's question was still discussing, because, again, the Gemara is going back to the original point. The Gemara said a statement that the Goyish kings start from Tishrei. So the Gemara says, how does Kodesh start from Nisan? It's because he was a good king. So the Gemara says, he was a bad king. And we find that he's taken start from Tishrei. So the Gemara answers, well, first he was good, then he was bad. So the Gemara says, how do I know he became bad? Because he did this only for himself. So the Gemara asks, but they're still good. So the Gemara answers, here he was a guy, so it's bad. Or else the Gemara answers, I'll give you another answer. That Minol and the Hichmetz, how did I know that Kodesh was bad? Not from this Gemara. This Gemara Taka made him a tzaddik. Because he did it for reward, it doesn't matter. But how do I know that Kodesh became a bad, or the Yavish, which the Gemara says English, but the Yavish was a bad king? Because it says, Zichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Nidvachin, the Evan Glow. It says three when he built the base, when the Yavish gave instructions for building the base of Mikdash, he did it as follows. It says three rows of marble and a row of wood, with the expenses provided from the royal castle. But he was cheap. Instead of making four rows of marble, he made only three rows of marble and one row of wood. So if he was a good king, he should have given four rows of marble. Why did he only give three and one row of king of wood? He says, La Malayla David Hachi, and the Gemara explained, why did he do it? He did it for a reason. Why? He said Savad. The Yavish said to himself, the Gemara learns, Imardu Beyudoi, if the Jews will rebel against me, Ikloy Benura, I'll burn down the base of Mikdash. Now, if it's only marble, it's not gonna burn. It's not gonna catch the fire. It's not gonna catch onto the fire. The fire's not gonna catch onto it. So the Yavish said, I'm gonna build it with wood, that in case the Jews rebel against me, I'm gonna be able to burn it down. So what do you see from here? That he wasn't a good king. He wasn't such a good king.
David wasn't able to do it because he was in wars. How did him get involved in building the Beis HaMikdash?
No, he was the guy that allowed the Jews to go back to build the second Beis HaMikdash. In other words, David HaMelech was talking about building the first Beis HaMikdash. The second Beis HaMikdash, the Jews were allowed at wars. In fact, who did this help build the second Beis HaMikdash? The Yavish gave instructions for building the second Beis HaMikdash. But originally he wanted to pay for it, but he had in mind that in case I can still end up burning it down. So the Gemara asks back a better question. Shlema Melech also built it with wood and marble. So why is the Yavish any worse than Shlema Melech? The Gemara says, Atu Shlema le'yavid hachi. The Shlema Melech not build the Beis HaMikdash like that. Even Shlema Melech built the Beis HaMikdash also with marble and wood. V'aksiv, it says in the Pasuk, by Shlema Melech, Shleish Turei Gazis, there are three rows of stone, of expensive stone, and V'tur Kurusis Arazit, and one row of cedar beams. So if Shlema Melech could build like that, so why is it so bad that the Yavish built like that? So the Gemara says there was a difference where they put the wood. Shlema Ovid Mumaila. Shlema put the wood on top. E Ovid Mumata. And the Yavish put the wood at the bottom. Because when you want to burn down a building, you have to burn it from the bottom, because then the whole building collapses. So he put the wood on the bottom because the intention, if he wants to burn down the building, he'll be able to do it very easily. Shlema Melech did it for beauty purposes, whatever, in construction, that it should be on top. So God forbid, even if that would catch on fire, it would only burn down the top of the Beis HaMikdash and not the whole building. And then the Gemara says another thing. Shlema shaka bebinyana. Shlema put the wooden part into the building. That means he stuck it in between the marble. He did not recess it into the building, so therefore it was more prone to get burnt with the Yavishes than with Shlema Melech. Another thing difference was Shlema sadya besida. Shlema plastered it with cement, with lime. He did not plaster the wood with lime, so therefore it was more open and exposed to get burnt. So therefore the Gemara says, you see from here that Yavish wasn't such a great tzaddik after all.
How can you...
Alexander,
huh?
His son was Alexander?
Here they go through the whole thing. That Yavish... Who knows over here? After the Yavish was a different guy. I don't know. Greek. Comes to an end, the peak of the, then the Greek started. So it could be it was Alexander the Greek. Yeah. Who knows? If that's the historians. Then the Gemara says, so that's one thing that you see that he sinned. Okay, because he built a base of mixture with wood in order that he should be able to burn it down if he had to. Then the Gemara says, Amr Rav Yosef, he say Rav Yitzchok, Minol and Achmed Tzadu, I know that the Yavish became a Rasha, because it says as follows, Ve'yemer li HaMelech, The king said to me, "Vashegel Yeshevis Etzlei," and the Shegel, we don't know who the Shegel is, but in English it's translated as the consort. And the Gemara is soon going to explain who this is. Okay. And the king was sitting next to him. So the Gemara asks, "Ma Shegel? Who's the Shegel?" So Amir Abba del Bailima Mishmeder Av Kalbus. It was a female dog. And the Gemara says that he was sodomized and had relations with this female dog, which is also even for a guy. So the Gemara says, so you see, Shegel is a dog. And therefore you see that Hichmitz. So the Gemara says, how do you know Shegel is a dog? Alameyato adiksiv, this it says in the Pasuk Daniel. Marad dishmayam, esreimamta, you exalted yourself against the Hashem of the heaven. Ulamana divesa, and the vessels of his house were brought before you. The antevavrach, shigalta lechena chamra shasim bahain, you and your nobles, your consort, and your concubines drank wine from them. So it says, all you people drank wine, including the Shegel. So the Gemara says, "Ishegel kalbisahi." If a Shegel is a female dog, kalbisah bas mishtechamra. Since when does a female dog drink wine? The pasuk says all these people drank wine, and one of the people drinking wine is called Shegel. So if Shegel over here means a female dog, which just shows that the Yavish sinned, how could they say that she drank wine? So the Gemara answers, "Alikasha is not a kasha. The mouthful of a shas, he trained it to drink." He trained the dog to drink. So the dog drank. So the Gemara says, "Al me'atam." If so, it says in the Pasuk also, "Beneis melachim b'kireisecho," the daughters of kings honored you. "Nitz v'shegel imincha," the shegel stands on your right. "Bechesem eifir," in the golden jewelry of Ophir. Okay? In other words, the Navi is telling the king that you're going to have greatness. Shegel's going to be on your right, and you're going to be full of jewelry. So Gemara says, "V'shegel kal b'sihi." If Shegel's a female dog, "Makom avasel u'navi li'Yisrael," what kind of tiding is the prophet telling the Yidden? I mean, this is negative, it's not good. So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamid," this is what he tells him, "V'schah shechavi v'teir li'Yisrael," and the reward, it means taka dog. But what does it mean? It tells the Eden, when you love Torah, like Goyim love dogs, then you're going to get rewarded. He said, "Bischash chaviv v'teira liYisrael," when Torah would become precious to the Jews, "kishegel la'ev dekachavim," like a female dog to Goyim, "schisem lekasem eifi," you're going to merit this golden jewelry. So the Gemara says, "Iboy Seima." Okay, so one answer is that it was a dog, and therefore you see that Yavesh sinned because he was having relations with a dog, which is forbidden, even for a guy, for Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Neach. It's part of the adultery of Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Neach, includes relations with animals. Iboy Seima, another answer, it says, "Le'elam Shegel Malkasi." Really, Shegel's not a dog. It's a queen. Mm-hmm. Normally. And therefore, all the psukim that speak about Shegel as something positive is a queen. How do we know that over here, the Yavish's Shegel was a dog? Because the Gemara asks from various psukim, how do you say Shegel is dog when we see Shegel is a very good thing? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara answers, no. Really, you're right. Shegel is a queen. How do we know that the Shegel of the Yavish means a dog rather than a queen? So he says, "Rabba Balima Gemara Gemirale." This is a tradition that the Yavish's queen was a female dog. That was his queen. But what?
Were people trying to like show that they had authority or power over nature? Is that what that? What's going on there? If somebody wants to do that privately, whatever. But to put it in a public way, that's a queen, and that this guy has. I know there was a Roman king, emperor, who made his horse a senator and all kinds of crazy stuff.
That's what they did crazy things in those days.
Well, maybe Rabbi, the queen was so ugly, so they called her a dog.
No, that's not what it means. It's the other way. The dog is the queen. But you know, we find in the olden times they were so powerful, these kings, that it made them crazy. It literally made these people crazy, and they used to do crazy things. So this, you know, like he says, "Vamai kar leshegel." So why does the pasuk call this dog a queen? Because either shaisa chaviva alav kashegel, either because it was dear to him as a queen. Inami sheshiva b'makom shegel. He taka put it on the right side of him, just like a queen. He stuck the dog, huh?
They used drugs too, probably.
These people were drunkards in there.
Yeah, opium and things like that.
Sure.
I'm still completely lost in what the context of this whole thing is.
Well, how did Gemara get into this whole thing?
Yeah, I know I missed the last couple of weeks, but
no, it's very simple. The sequence.
I mean, here we're talking about the Beit Hamikdash and how it's built, and here we're talking about
the sequence of it is very simple. Again, like we said at the beginning, the Mishnah says Rosh Hashanah for kings is Nisan. Nisan begins the new year. Okay? That means if a king became a king a month before Nisan, Nisan starts the second year of the king's reign. Then the Gemara said a statement that for Goyish kings, though, it starts in Tishrei. So the Gemara was asking a bunch of questions. We find a Goyish king, Daryavish, that the Pasuk counts it from Nisan. So if he was a Goyish king, why are they counting the reign from Nisan, not from Tishrei? So the Gemara says he was a kosher king. Okay? Then the Gemara says, well, we find the pasuk that goes by Tishrei, by the same king. So the Gemara says, well, then he became a Rasha. Okay, so the Gemara is following in that pattern. So first the Gemara says he was a good king. Then the Gemara says, no, he was a bad king also. Now the Gemara is trying to prove, where do we see he was a bad king? And this whole page of Gemara is trying to prove that Duryavich was a bad king. So first the Gemara says he proved it because he built the Beis HaMikdash only for the Jews to daven for him. So you see, he's a bad king. So Gemara says, wait a minute, that's not bad. It's a tzaddik gomer, the Gemara says. Okay, so Gemara says it's in between a Jew and a guy. For a Jew it's okay, because even if it doesn't happen, he doesn't regret it. And by a guy, if he doesn't get what he wants, he's going to regret it. Okay, then the Gemara brought another pasuk that he was bad. Where do you see the king was bad? This is all to answer the point why sometimes that king started from Nisan and sometimes that king started from Tishrei. So the Gemara is answering, okay, the first proof is not so. I'll bring you another proof that he became bad. Because he built the Beis HaMikdash with wood. Why? Then in case he decides he's going to burn down the Beis HaMikdash. So you see, he was a bad king. So the Gemara said, but Shlomo HaMelech built it the same way. And he wasn't bad. So the Gemara answers, Shlomo HaMelech built it on top, the wood. And he built it at the bottom, or else he plastered it in. That's again. So now the Gemara is trying to bring another proof that he was bad. What's another proof that he was bad? Because his queen was a dog. And for a guy, relations with a dog is forbidden. So this is just the sequence of the Gemara, and this is the way the Gemara works. The Gemara is just elaborating on the proof that Yavish was bad. Because just learning the psukim straight out, it doesn't look like he was a bad king. Because he did allow the Jews to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's after Achashverosh, Daryavish allowed the Jews to go back and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So how could he be? So the Gemara is trying to prove from various psukim that he's a bad guy. Right? So the Gemara is just proving through various different things. So then the Gemara goes off. What do you mean Shegel's a dog? Shegel's a queen? How can you say Shegel means a dog? So Gemara says, the Gemara knew that he had a dog. And that was his queen. That's the simple sequence. And this Gemara is more easy to sequence than most other Gemaras. We just didn't in the order of it.
And so if they're bad, they start from Tishrei?
Yeah. Or Goyish kings.
Goyish kings that are bad.
That means, no, but this is Negeya Ta'aloch, not nowadays because we don't do it. But according to Allah, the Gemara says that if you're going by the years of the non-Jewish king, for peace matters, you want to just, you know, the king should see the Jews are reckoning with him. And you want to count the years from the Goyish king in documents, which, by the way, if it's not a kosher time, if the time is a wrong time, it's an invalid document, like we learned. A predated document in halacha is no good. So you have to know what's going to be first and second. So the Gemara says, a statement. The halacha is that if you're counting from the life of a goyish king, the year begins from Tishrei. Okay? And therefore, if you have one document in Tishrei of the second year, I'm sorry, let's say, if you have one document in Adar and one document in Av, right? And you wrote on both the second year of the king, so if it's the goyish king, Adar comes before Av. But if it's the Jewish king, when you start from Nisan, then Av comes before Adar. So if you have one document in Av, one document in Adar, it's important to know which document comes first. Which person has a lien first on the property? Right? One guy has a lien from Adar, and one guy has a lien from Av. Mm-hmm. So and both say the second year of the king. Mm-hmm. So if the year began from Nisan, like the Jewish kings do, so then Av comes before Adar. Right? Av would be the fifth month. Nisan Iyar Sivan Tammuz Av, and Adar is the 12th month. But if you sign from the Goyish kings, that Tishrei is the beginning of the year, and one document says Adar, and one document says Av in the second year of the king, then Adar comes before Av. So it's really important to know. Nowadays it doesn't matter, because nowadays documents we write from creation of the world. So you know that if a document says 5762, it's after 5760.
What's the significance of learning these things if it's not going to be applicable? In time of Shia, are we going to use any of these things? Maybe?
It's possible. It's possible. But no, first of all, historically, the Jews did use the years, and if you look in the old documents that they quote, that they find in the old responses and all that, they did go in Russia by the Tsar, and they did go in certain countries by the kings. Okay, when the Jews needed to prove to the king that they still like them, that just because of the anti-Semitism, that they shouldn't kill out the Jews, so they used to do things. Do you know there was a custom in many places that when the Goyish king would visit the Jewish quarter, they would go out with the Sefer Torah.
Mm-hmm.
They would take out the Sefer Torah, either in the Ark and the Aron Kodesh, or they actually take out the Sefer Torahs. Mm-hmm. And there was one Purim Sarasota, I think it's called. The whole story is printed in Talks and Tales, in the books, that there was once a city that had a minig, that whenever the king came, they took out the Sefer Torah. But it got to a point, the king came often, and the Jews said to themselves, why should we take out the Sefer Torah? Let's take out the empty Aron Kodesh. The king wouldn't know the difference. And there was a Jew hater that found out what the Jews did. And he snitched to the king, and he said to the king, you think the Jews come out to you with respect? They're making fun of you. They're bringing out an empty box because they don't think you're worthy enough that they should take out the Torah to see you. So the king said, you know what? The next time I come, you're going to come with me, and I'm going to order them to open up the Aron Kodesh. And a few nights before the king was supposed to come, the shamus of the city, I remember it was the shamus of the Rav of the city, had a dream. That somebody came to him and said that you're headed for trouble, you better put the Sefer Torah in to the Aron Kodesh next time you go out to see the king.
Mm-hmm.
So the shamus didn't know what to do, so he went to the Rav, and the Rav also had the dream. A few people had the dream, the leaders had the dream, and the Rav said, I don't want anybody in the city to know this, but this time we're going to put the Sefer Torah in.
Mm-hmm.
And when the king came, this Jew hater was riding next to the king, he said, I'm going to get the Jews. And the king ordered to open up the Aron Kodesh. I want to see the Sefer Torah. So everybody in the crowd was scared. I mean, they opened it up and the Sefer Torah was in there. So the king killed the Jew hater for making fun of him. So they made a celebrated Purim of that city. You had a Purim. It was called a Purim. So they did a lot of things halachically for the respect of the king. There was a bracha you say when you see the king. A goyish king. There's a bracha that you make. In fact, when the Alter Rebbe was in prison, and the Tsar came dressed up incognito,
mm-hmm.
in disguise, to go see the Alter Rebbe, because he heard the Alter Rebbe's brilliance, and the Alter Rebbe never met the Tsar before, personally. Mm-hmm. And the Tsar walked into the Alter Rebbe's prison, so the Alter Rebbe stood up and made the bracha for the Tsar, for a king. So the guy said, how did you know? He said, there's a certain aura of greatness that only a king has. And when you walked into the room, I felt it. And therefore I knew you had to be the king. So there was a lot of things that Jews did. That's number one. Number two, to answer your question, the Gemara asks, and many things, the Gemara says many dinim. One example is Ben Sered Omeira, the rebellious son, the whole story. So the Gemara says, Lahayev Le Nivet. It never happened, such a case. Because it's almost impossible to happen. Because it's only a certain few months, and the kid has to sound like the father. There's so many complications in the din that it's almost impossible for that to happen. So the Gemara says, so what's it all about? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, you learn it, you get reward just for learning it. Who says it has to happen? Who says it has to happen? It's Hashem's Torah. In fact, even in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe says that this is Chochmas Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Alter Rebbe says, even if a din will never come to such a court case that the Gemara discusses or Halacha discusses, nevertheless, it's Torah, and this is the wisdom of Hashem, that if it would happen, it would be. And like we said, the difference between Bavli and Yerushalmi is this is Bavli, in Talmud Yerushalmi, this whole thing wouldn't be here. The whole thing wouldn't be here. Because Yerushalmi is statements. Statements. No proofs, and then refuting the proofs, and asking the proofs, and this. That's what Bavli is so big, and Yerushalmi is so big, you know? Why? Because Dafka, by learning all this, and questioning and analyzing it and asking and discussing and arguing, do you really come to the in-depth of it? So that's why the Gemara goes, who cares if he was sour or not sour? Dariavish is not alive today, and nobody's going by the years of his reign anyway. Right? Nevertheless, we have to understand
history.
Is it good? Was he not good? And so on and so forth. Okay, now the Gemara says, another answer. How do I know that the Yavish became bad? So it says, from another pasuk. It says that up to 100 talents of silver. And up to 100 cores of wheat. It's a measurement. And up to 100 baths of wine. And 100 baths of oil and unlimited salt. He says, now, Mikada Bulei Kitsusa, originally, Dariyavish said, you can have all that you want. First he said, you can have everything you want. And all of a sudden he said, no, 100. So you see, he became no good. He became spoiled. First he says, take whatever you want. Then he said, no, only up to 100. So Gemara says, no, I'll disprove this. Maybe originally he didn't know how many the Jews need, so he says take whatever you want. Then when he saw what the Jews needed, he said, okay, 100's enough. So it doesn't mean he was bad. And the Gemara says, you're right, the true answer is, like we answered originally, that he sinned either because he put wood in the Beis HaMikdash because his wife was a dog. It's the queen, his wife was a dog, not she acted like a dog, it was a dog, and so on. Okay, now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah, now the Gemara is going away from all these types of proofs. In the Mishnah it says, Rosh Chodesh Nissan is Rosh Hashanah for kings and for the Chagim. This is says, Rosh Hashanah, Becha Benissan, Rosh Hashanah L'mlochim, and Regalim for Yomtivs. I know what I'm supposed to do with this one. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Regalim be'echad b'nissen, who is Yom Tov, the first day of Nissen. B'chamisha asa b'nissen. Pesach, which is the first Yom Tov, is not on Rosh Chodesh Nissen. It's the 15th of Nissen. How does the Mishnah say, but Rosh Chodesh Nissen is the new year for Chagim? And the Gemara is going to say what difference it makes. The 15th day of Nissen is Rosh Hashanah for Yom Tov. So Amar Rav Chista said, you're right. What it means is, regal, Shabbat Rosh Hashanah L'Regoyim. It's the Rosh Chodesh Nissan is the month that has the Rosh Hashanah for Chagim. But really the Rosh Hashanah for Yom Tovim is Pesach. The 15th of Nissan. So the Gemara says, Nafka Mina, what difference does it make? What the Rosh Hashanah for Yom Tovs are? So he says, Nafke mina lem neder, if a person makes a neder, lemeikam aleh bebal ta'acher. And Reb Shimon he. It's a very simple Gemara. There's a din, if somebody makes a vow to donate something to the Beis HaMikdash, to bring a carbon, how long does he have to bring it? Because the Torah says, leisa acher leshalmi. You're not allowed to delay to pay it back, to pay it up. Okay? Now, how long do you have? When are you transgressing the sin? So the Gemara says as follows. The Tanya, and it goes according to Reb Shimon. What's the story? Because it says, Echad HaNeder, Ve'echad HaMagdish, if somebody makes a vow to the Beis HaMikdash, or somebody makes something Hegdish, Ve'echad HaMayrech, a person makes a vow that he says, my value, I'm donating to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says, what, how old you are, what the value of the person is. So he says, Kivin Sha'avro Lo Shalosh Regolim, once three Yamim Tevim pass by, Eiv about the Achad, you're already transgressing that you delayed it. Now this Tana holds, to give you a simple example, if somebody made a vow 2 days before Pesach, right? So when Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot go by, he's already, and he didn't bring it by Sukkot, he already transgressed the vow, even though it's only half a year. If a guy made the vow the day after Sukkot, so he has Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot to go to. So he has a whole year to do it. Mm-hmm. So this Tanakhama says, as soon as three Degolim go by, it doesn't matter which Yom Tov, first, second, third, whatever, you know, if you did before Shavuos, as long as Shavuos, Sukkot, and Pesach goes by, you transgressed the vow.
Remember, who made that decision?
Huh?
What was that decision?
Hashem gave it to Moshe at Sinai. That's what the Chachamim are. Reb Shimon says no. Reb Shimon says an interesting thing. Reb Shimon Yochai Eimer Regolim Pa'amim Shleisha. Sometimes it could be three Yom Tevim. Sometimes four. Sometimes five.
To make it complete year.
Right. Well, to be make you transgress the vow, because I'll explain very simply. I'll say it. Reb Shimon Yochai holds Pesach is the first Yom Tev. So the order of the three has to go through a Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot in that order. So if somebody made a vow after Pesach, he can go through a Shavuos, a Sukkot, and then Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. Mm-hmm. Because according to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, it has to start from Pesach. Mm-hmm. So he said, Ketzad, he said, what does it mean? Not the Lifnei Pesach. If he made a vow before Pesach, then Shleisha, then you have three Yom Tevin, because Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Lifnei Atzeres, if a person made a vow before Shavuos, so then he has five. Why? Because you have Shavuos, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. If he made a vow before Sukkot, then it's four, because he has Sukkot, and then Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So the Gemara is answering, this is what the relevance of Pesach as the first Yom Tev goes. According to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, it matters. According to the Chacham, it doesn't matter. Three Yom Tevim, any order, you transgress the vow. But according to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, you have to know that Pesach is the first of the Yom Tevim, of the Chagim, because then, even sometimes you can have five Yom Tevim to pass by, and that the person shouldn't be over the vow. So the Gemara is just explaining. So the Gemara is saying here 2 points. Number one, even though the Mishnah says Rosh Hashanah for Yom Tevim is Rosh Chodesh Nissen, but the Gemara doesn't mean Rosh Chodesh Nissen. It means Nissen, which has Pesach in it. And secondly, according to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, the first month, the first Yom Tov, I mean, is Pesach. The halacha is like the Chachamim, by the way, that it's three Yom Tevim in any order. Mm-hmm. And you find a similar din. I mean, nobody should know of it, but there's a din in Shulchan Aruch that if somebody's wife passes away, he's not, unless if he has little children or whatever, but as a rule, he's not allowed to remarry remarry until three Yom Tevim pass by. It's not by divorce, it's only by death. No. Somebody's wife dies, says he should not remarry for 3 months, no. For three Yom Tevim.
Why? Why would that be? Is it connected to this? Or
it could be. Well, it's not about vows, but. But therefore, if somebody's wife passed away, like right before Pesach, so a half a year later, right after Sukkot, he could remarry. But if she passed away right after Sukkot, then he would need to wait a whole year to be able to remarry. So, but over there also doesn't mean it doesn't have to be the order.